Who's happy to be in church? Awesome. I have been asked it's not a bike giveaway. So for those of you that thought that might be happening, it won't be happening. And it is also an illustration we have not tried before. So there is a potential that many things could happen today. But most importantly, what is happening is that we're honouring the name of our resurrected Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Many special things happened this morning. For those of you that may be visiting, and Pastor John explained baptism really well, it's people making a public confession about their faith, and then when they go down into the water, what's happening is the guys that are baptising them are saying the triune name of our God over them. He's saying, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening in the water. And then they're being baptized, they're being public about their faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never had that experience, that is what today is all about. The theme over Easter that we've carried as a team has been called the redeeming encounter. Every person that ever lived needs a redeeming encounter with Jesus Christ. Redemption meaning that what you have done wrong has been paid for. I will talk about that. We used an example on Good Friday of a story about an adulterous woman who came before Jesus, and Jesus ends up saying to her, "Who condemns you?" And she says, "No one." He says, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." There is a moment where she has a redeeming encounter with Jesus Christ. We celebrated Easter on Friday, that Jesus died on the cross. But that was not the end of the story in our belief system. We know and we believe that on the third day, he rose again. And when he rose again, what he actually did in that moment is that he overcame the power of sin and death, which actually has a lot and everything to do with us and our relationship with God. So I want to use another redeeming example out of the Bible today. And if you want to turn with me, why don't we go to the book of Luke, chapter 5. And we have a very, very interesting example that I'd like to read with you. And then we're going to talk about it together. But if you're listening, the emphasis is really going to be built around you and I, and everybody needs to have a redeeming moment with Jesus. So let's look in Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 17. We're going to read through to verse 39. And it says, "One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in the front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friends, your sins are forgiven. Friend, your sins are forgiven.' The Pharisee and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, 'Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' So he said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home.' Immediately he stood in front of them, took what he had been laying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We've seen remarkable things today.'" It's a very amazing story. And I wonder, as you ponder that story, have you ever misread a situation? Give me a wave, those people. I want to give you an example of misreading a situation. Has anybody ever seen the Christmas episode of Mr. Bean? This is a great example. If you haven't seen Mr. Bean, I'll explain to you the scenario. In the first picture, you see Mr. Bean and his girlfriend. They're out shopping around Christmas time. In the next one, you see what she's actually pointing at. She's pointing at the diamond ring. So clearly, Mr. Bean understands what's going on. He says to her, and has anybody ever said this? Don't worry, I've got you. Leave it with me. I got you. That's what he's saying. To everybody else in the room, we all just know this means I've got no idea what's going on. Geordie and I walk around like this with the item. We're like, hey, man. Then in the next one, we see what actually happens is at Christmas, he bought her the poster that is behind the ring. Didn't purchase the ring. It was a misread. Those things happen in life. I remember the first time I brought April to meet my Italian grandparents. And I said to my nonno, my grandfather, this is April. He said, apple. I said, April. Apple. My nonna, my grandma, had to say, aprile. January, February, March. Ah! Aprile. And since then, she has been known as Apple. A classic misread. Have you ever been in those moments? Jesus is in a home. There are people everywhere. A paralyzed man is being lowered through the roof. Because the Bible tells us that the power of God was with Jesus to heal. So there's a paralyzed man being lowered in the middle of the crowd to where Jesus is. Now, can you imagine the friends? Jesus, you heal. He's paralyzed. Jesus, you can heal. He's paralyzed. They lower him down and he looks at them and he looks at him and he says, your sins are forgiven. Did Jesus get it wrong in that moment? Was it a misread, or was Jesus looking deeper into what that man actually needed? You see, the reality of this moment is that Jesus recognized his greatest need and our greatest need. And that is that our sins would be forgiven. You see, because what could have happened in that moment is that man could have been healed. Okay? He gets up. He goes home. He ends up living the most successful life he could ever live. It would have been an incredible life he lived. It would be so successful. But when it gets to the end of his life and we all age and at some point we get to that moment in our life where we pass away, what happens to his soul? You know, it tells us in Scripture, and in fact it is quoted by Jesus, that a whole person, he could gain the whole world. This is in Matthew chapter 16, 26. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Is anything worth more than a soul? In that moment, Jesus was actually recognizing that man's greatest need was not to walk, but rather to be restored to God. If you're visiting here today, or if you are a believer yourself, we need to understand that actually our sin does something to damage our relationship with God. In Isaiah 59, this is why dealing with sin was so important. It says this in Isaiah 59. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ears too dull to hear. But listen, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear. Jesus understood that sin had caused separation between that man and God. But that's the Easter story. Jesus did not want that man to remain separated from God. And in Romans 5:8, we actually begin to learn that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us on a cross. We were separated from God, but Jesus died for us on a cross. And we celebrate today that he did not stay in that place, but the Bible tells us that God's Spirit rose him up from the dead, overcoming the power of sin and death, and that through relationship with Jesus, you can be called back into relationship with God. You can have it through faith. The Bible also teaches us this, and I think this is important, that Jesus declares that no one can come to the Father except through me, which means you actually can't look any further than Jesus for redemption. You know, if we were to go to Coles after this and you do a massive amount of shopping, there's a price to be paid for that shopping. Someone walking past you can't just say, don't worry about it, it's on the house, go for it. They don't have the authority to pay that price, to make that decision. But Jesus does. And that's why, as Christians, we're so passionate about who he is. Because he actually is the one that has the authority to pardon our sins. Because that is my second point. The first one is this. Jesus is concerned about our deepest need, and our deepest need is that we would have our sins forgiven, because our sins have separated us from God. But Jesus has the authority to forgive, because we see in this story, it's pretty cool that Jesus sees him and says, your sins are forgiven. And then the crowd begins to think, the teachers, the Pharisees, they begin to think, this is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus, hearing them, says, hey, I'm going to show you that I have authority to forgive sins, because what I've done is I've forgiven this man. But the work that has taken place happens within his soul. But to heal the man also needs the authority of God. So to show you I have authority to forgive sins, I will prove it to you by healing this man's body. And he says to the man, get up. And he begins to walk. He begins to praise God. Jesus, in that moment, proved his authority. When Jesus died on the cross, which we celebrated so beautifully on Friday, that in Romans 4:25, it says that he had to die on the cross for our sins. But it says in Romans 4:25 that he rose again from the grave, and the Bible uses the word for our justification. What that means is he rose again so that we could be made right with God. Because of the resurrection power, because of what Christ did, and because he rose again, we now know that he has overcome sin and death, or I put it this way, he now has authority over sin and death, and therefore he can make a way for us. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what did the paralyzed guy do in this situation? What did he do? He got up and walked. But Pete, that was at the end. You got there too quick. He did nothing. So Stewie, if you could come up here for a moment, and I'm going to get the guys to come up. I want to paint a picture for you that I hope will work. So the guys that I have asked to come and help, I want you to come up on the stage. This is where we see how it goes down, eh? So we're going to move it forward. If you move it over there, Stu's going to hop on the bike. That'll do. That's awesome. Stu rides regularly, so he's an experienced campaigner. So if he falls off, it wasn't what we built, it was him. Okay, begin to ride. Now, very simply, he's making an effort, but is he getting any closer to the cross right now? No, he's not, is he? He's not getting any closer to the cross. Stop for a minute. It's two pictures I want to talk about and hope that you remember. The first one is, like the paralyzed guy, by no fault of his own, no matter how much effort he made, he was not going anywhere. Okay? Now, there's a second thing that I want us to think about is this. The Bible actually tells us, and you can begin to write again, is that we actually can't get any closer to Jesus. We can't actually work hard at being good, make an effort in our own way of thinking, in our own conduct. The Bible actually says you don't get any closer to God by works. You can't. This here does nothing. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much effort you put in, you're never going to be, by work of your own, getting any closer to Jesus. Now, what happens in the story is something that we always think about, but the emphasis of the story is what we should think about. So what happens is we're going to imagine now that this is a horizontal version of what was happening that day. So what was happening is they were lowering people to the feet of Jesus. So now we're going to have the four friends grab a rope each, and we're going to pretend that the cross is Jesus. Father, protect Stu, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So what's going to happen is by no work of his own, he can't get closer to Jesus. But what happens is he's got some friends that get him on a roof and they begin to lower him, or in this case, pull him towards the cross. So though, keep going. It worked. Oh, it worked. We can close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's think about this moment. The friends physically did the work of bringing him closer to Jesus. They made an effort. Now go back. We'll do it again one more time just for risk-taking sake. That's the worst bit to pull on, just so we're aware. Stewie's pedaling away, and by no work of his own, he can't do anything. But then his friends were like, let's get him to Jesus, and they began to pull him towards Jesus, as John says, slowly, slowly, boys. Full stop. I said full stop. I meant stop. That was brilliant. All right, boys, come out here for a moment and everyone grab a piece of paper and hold it up. Now, while they do that, I want everybody to listen to this scripture. This is in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. So what it says. For it is by grace, that's God's grace for us, you have been saved through faith. It says, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast. In this scenario, when you think about the men being lowered to Jesus, when you think about these guys, it was actually not the physical work of getting him to the feet of Jesus. But rather, the scripture tells us, it says, when Jesus saw there, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. You guys can pop down, and Jared, if you want to join me. We all need a redeeming encounter with Jesus. But I'm here to tell you today that it all revolves around Jesus. There isn't any work that you can do that actually brings you closer to God. In Ephesians, that scripture actually says that salvation is a gift. Jesus dying on the cross was God's gift to us, was a picture of God's love for us. Because why we celebrate Easter so passionately is we understand that the Bible tells us that every person has fallen short of God's glorious standard. It's in Romans chapter 3, one of the books in the Bible. And what that paints a picture of for us is that we have all sinned. God wrote this rule book that none of us could live by. It was too hard in our own strength to bring us any closer to God. But God wanted us for relationship with Him. He desired relationship with His people. But yet we couldn't live up to the standard He had set of righteousness so we could be in His presence. You see, when we sin, the Bible tells us that the punishment of sin is death. It's actually separation from God, that when you get to the end of your life, when we talked about the soul, why Jesus forgave his sins first was without a redeeming encounter with Jesus, death means eternal separation from God. It means you will not go to heaven. But that was not God's plan. So when we fell short of God's glorious standard, the Bible tells us about God's love for us. And it said that while we were sinners, Jesus still died for us. Because what Jesus did is He came still being fully God, but was also fully man. He lived a perfect life. So He actually lived up to God's glorious standard, making Him the perfect candidate to redeem the world. So what happened is that Jesus goes and He dies on the cross, and in that moment, He paid the price of death for everybody who ever lived and everybody who ever will live. He paid the price of our sin. But the gift of grace that I talked about in Ephesians is received through faith. So what happens is on the third day, Jesus rose again, having authority now over sin and death. And the Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you believe that He lived and died, you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. And in that moment of having faith, what happens is your sins are removed from you and they're put on the cross with Jesus. And He dies for your sins. But by faith, you receive His righteousness. The Bible tells us that we're actually made righteous through faith. That's faith in Jesus. And by that faith, we receive righteousness, which actually means we now receive and can have relationship with a righteous God. The redeeming encounter can only happen when you put your faith in Jesus. And that's what we celebrate today. Jesus' work on the cross, His resurrection meant that sin and death has no authority over us when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. That's the Easter message. That's what we as Christians celebrate with such joy in our heart. We have hope that our soul is saved because we put our hope in Jesus Christ. So the question that I would ask everybody in this room today is, have you put your faith in Jesus? The paralytic man could do nothing but believe. And that was all he needed to do to be restored to God. Your redeeming encounter can happen today if you put your faith in Jesus. It secures your soul. It restores you back to God. And I don't want any person here today to wonder, am I living in a state where I have not been forgiven for my sins? Am I living in a state of unforgiveness? But I've learnt, and what you need to understand very simply, put your faith in Jesus. When we talk about it, we all need to recognize that we have sinned. Why? Because if you don't recognize that you've fallen short, you don't have a need to put your hope in Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, you've fallen short. We all have. I have. But I also have the faith to know that I put my faith in Jesus. I now live a life that tries to please Him because I love Him, because I understand what He did for me. So with every eye closed across this place, reason why I want to do that is not a religious act, it's a privacy act. I don't want anybody looking around so that you can feel in this moment that there are no eyes on you. I want this to be a moment where you are weighing up the health of your soul based upon your relationship and faith in Jesus. So with every eye closed, the question I ask you is, have you put your faith in Jesus? And the second thing, I want to re-paraphrase the same question is, today, do you want to put your faith in Jesus? Because faith is your role. Redemption was Christ's role and He's already fulfilled His job. You need to walk in His victory. And the way that you can walk in His victory is by putting your faith in Him. There may be people in this room, you've never actually confessed out loud or made a decision that you want to put your faith in Jesus. There may be people that have done it once before, but you've wandered away and you need to recommit your faith and trust and desire to walk with God once again. So with every eye closed, if you want to put your faith in Jesus so that you know you can have a secure relationship with God today, on three, I want you to put your hand up. And then when you do that, that's your act of faith. That's your moment that you're putting your hope and your trust in Jesus. So on three, if you want to put your faith in Jesus today, because that's what it takes, I want you to lift your hand. One, two, three. Why don't you lift your hand? Yep, 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 yep. Praise God. Yep, yep. You can pop it straight back down. Hallelujah. Yep, hands all over this place. More than I could count. That's what made it worth it for Jesus. For those people that lifted their hand to put their faith and trust in Jesus today, understand that if you were the only person that ever existed, He would have died for you. And He did. But I want to encourage you now in this moment that by putting your faith in Jesus, you have secured your soul. You now can have a relationship with a living God. Can we all stand for a moment? So what we're going to do in this moment is we're going to pray a prayer together of confession of faith. So the Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. So I know that you believe in your heart. I've seen your responses all over this room. So for those of you that lifted your hand, we're all going to do it, but you really mean it in your heart. And what I'm going to do to help you confess with your mouth, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I want everybody in the room to repeat it after me, like a call and answer. But those that lifted their hands, this is a new day for you. This is a new moment. Whatever you've been through, know that Jesus is with you. He died for you, and now you can know your soul is secured. You walk in resurrection power. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, I ask you forgive me. I believe that you lived and walked on this earth and that you lived a perfect, sinless life. I believe you died on a cross and rose again 3 days later. I put my faith, my trust, and my future in your hands. Jesus, I want to live for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Praise God, praise God. Now, there is one important step to the process. For those of you that lifted your hands today, we want to give you a Bible. We want to give you some information. But what we would ask is that there's going to be a team that down here on your right-hand side, just here at the front, there's a Bible being waved around. There's going to be some people there that want to meet you. It's not to interrogate you. It's literally to say hello. We would like to help you walk with Jesus. Because the decision you made today shores you up, but the decisions you keep making helps you to keep walking in victory. So I know that there were lots of hands that were raised. Now, whether it was your first time today, praise God, whether it was your 10th time, we want you to visit the corner just so we can pray for you. So after the service, there'll be 10 minutes. There'll be a team down there waiting as soon as this service is done where we would like you to go and connect with them. So I might have the band come and join me. We'll finish with a song. Let's finish with a fast one because it's Resurrection Sunday. God is good, isn't he? What I want to do just quickly, if you have a need in our community right now, it might be health, it might be emotions, it might be finance. You know that God meets our needs because he's victorious. So if you have a need today, maybe you're not feeling well, maybe there's something going on, why don't you just quickly put your hands out in front of you? I'd love to pray for you. Father, right now across this place, for people here that need you, Father, I thank you, Lord, today that there would be a shift in the mentality that they have. The shift being that I can trust my God, he is greater. No matter how long I've carried this illness, no matter how dire straight the situation looks, no matter how much need there is, my God is greater. And he will meet my needs. Maybe not my wants, but he meets my needs. So we put our trust in you. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.